I'm not going to be able to do it. We find many times in Chazal that on the basis of this problem, Chazal developed a general concept that one should make an effort to free oneself of any suspicion. Based on this positive use in the king that Hashem will be Yisrael, one shouldn't involve oneself in activities which bring about suspicion of other people. But let's first look at a couple of examples where Chazal bring this up, and then develop it a little wider.
Maritime.
It's a type of maritime. Now, one has to know, obviously, the gevul of this, you know, how far you have to take it and what types of suspicions that I'm not going to talk about so much today. But there is a general concept which applies in certain circumstances where one needs to take care not to arouse the suspicion of other people, but they'll think that you're doing something maybe untoward. One example of this is in the Mishnah in Shkolim. You know, there was a special storehouse in the Beit HaMikdash where all the half shkolim that were collected for the purpose of the Korbanos Tibur was stored, and then three times a year there was a particular shliach who would go in there to take out an amount of money for the continued use of the Korbanos Tibur. And the Mishnah tells us that this gentleman who goes in to take the half shkolim had to be dressed in a particular manner. In that Torah, Nichlas. Look at Paragus Kot. The one who goes into this storehouse cannot go in with a folded garment, below the middle, not with a shoe, below the sandals, not with sandals, below the tefillin, below the kamiyah. The common denominator of all these various articles is that they are potential hiding places. These are places where, potentially, if the one taking the money from the Mishkan would want to steal and take a little, side benefits for himself, the perks of the job, so these places, these items would have somewhere to stash it away. So he cannot go in wearing any of these types of items. Why? Sherry Yehoni, whatever will happen, it will arouse suspicion. If his, in the future, his financial situation goes down and becomes poor, the people will say, oh, you know why? The Hebrew, no, oh, yeah, Mishkan had it. Obviously, it's because he did an Avera over there going into the Mishkan. And as a punishment, Hashem made him poor. Or perhaps the other side of the coin, Hashem and Yashio get more rich. The Hebrew returns to Mishkan Hashem, and people will say that he became rich from taking the money from the Mishkan. Lefi, then it finishes off, so I'm sorry, it's not easy there, really. One has to be free of suspicion in the eyes of Hashem and in the eyes of Israel based upon this possible mystery's function. Another well-known example, the Gemara says in Pesachim, that when we have Gavoy Snoko who want to change money from silver coins to copper coins or the other way around, they cannot change it with their own private money. They have stocker money, they want to swap it for a different type of coin, a copper coin, a silver coin, whatever it might be, to swap the coins over. That should not be done with their own private money, right? Because in their times, obviously, the value of money was according to its weight. And the coin that wasn't exact was not worth the full worth. So there's a concern that when they do it to themselves, people will say that maybe they are reaping a little side benefit, they're not doing it exact. So if they have to do it with an official money changer, but not with their own private money. And again, we've got basically on this possible for even the key in the Hashem in Israel. Another thing that Morris said is quite fascinating, even though there were these families in the Sefer Yumot who produced the Lechem HaPonim and the Ksoyot. The Gemara says that in the houses of these families, in the house of the family who made the Lechem HaPonim, there was never fresh bread, the Gemara says. They never had in their house fresh bread. Why? The people shouldn't say that they're taking from the Lechem HaPonim. And those who made the Ksoyot says that when a colour leaves their house to get married, she would not be wearing perfume. Why? The people should not say it comes from the Ksoyot. It's always based upon this possibility, the Ethan, the Kiyah, and the Asherah, the Israel.
One question?
Yeah.
Why do the Torah respond not, for example, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I didn't take anything in the Korah"? Korah accused me, and he says,
"Yes, he says,
I didn't take anything.
Look, someone
else command. Isn't that the call of not suspect someone?
Yeah, I think it's like a little different over here. The theme is basically the same. Over here we're saying, in the first place, not to do an action which can be... misinterpreted. Well, that's just more or less on it. So I'd like to, in this light, take a look at a different example of something which is to do with Marit Ayin and Chashan, the suspicion of people. Take a little look at some of the halachos. So there's a well-known case, which is spoken about recently in the Bottom of Chalosh here as well, mentioned in Shulchan Aruch here. There, Hashpechet has a behemo, the nitzvah shet. Somebody sheds an animal, and it's kosher, good shechita, umotcha ba'ubor, and within it, there is a baby. That baby is mutav achila and does not require shechita. We've spoken about this very famous case known as a ben pekur. Ben pekur, as it is, you find this animal inside the mother after shechita. That animal, that baby, is mutav achila without shechita. Why? Because it's considered just a part of the mother, and the shechita of the mother works for that child as well.
Life or death?
Yeah. Now, however, the Moslem and Tishota, if one finds within it a baby that is complete and it's alive, in Hitris al Gabi Karka, from the second it had, so to speak, stepped out from the mother, from the second it has already found its feet on the ground, Tom Shkit. Then it requires Shkit. So the whole thing that it doesn't require Shkit is only before. Well, we'll take it, you know, directly from within the mother and take part of it right away without it ever stepping foot on the ground, which is obviously quite unlikely. But if it actually has stepped foot on the ground, then it requires shechita. Now, why is this? Explain the Maharishi. It says that tol shechita nishlum maris ayin. This thing is not a din d'oraisa. The basic svara that we said originally applies irrespective of whether it stepped foot on the ground or not. The shechita is essentially a limb of the mother. The shechita of the mother works for the child too. And there's no nafkamina with it set foot on the ground or not. However, once it has set foot on the ground, then here it is running around like all regular animals. It looks at the outward appearance of a regular animal. And to eat it without shechita would effectively be Mari's eye. So ultimately, Chalukim says the Talmud, there'll be confusion here, the behemoth Gemura, Kimin Shijam Zeh, Hifrit Slag Abikarka, wants this animal, has set foot on the ground. So that's the halakha. We have this Ben Pekur, which once it's set foot on the ground, needs Shechita, but that requirement of Shechita is only Nishom Maris Kam. So now, let's ask a question. If we're going to come and we're going to check this Ben Pekur, which we only have to check due to Maris Kam, normally, when we shed something, take a knife, we make a bracha. Shech and shon, mitzvot of the tzivona ala shechita. Now over here, where the shechita is only mishum maris ayin, an activity that's being done simply mishum maris ayin, does it require a bracha from us?
The
maris ayin of not making a bracha. That's a good point, actually. The question is really more maybe, if we want to put it in a sort of logical way, what is the sort of gender, what is the way Chazal set up this Maris Ayin? Is it simply, you know, just avoid people's suspicion? So avoid suspicion, you check it. Or is it that due to Maris Ayin, Chazal instituted now a mitzvah Rabbanon to check it? On mitzvah Rabbanon, we also make a drop. What is the Geder Hador? So actually this question was asked to the Rashba. It's a Chubas for Rashba, it was asked to the Rashba. And the Rashba mentions a number of cases of Maris Ayin, a couple of things that go together, and when I say he answers, quoted Ritul Chachomim, the Hakrish, the Lishmo, Me'ez Etam Shahomru,
Mitzvah Shal Bebrandi.
Once Chazal told us this is the correct procedure, this is what we've got to do, it has the status of a mitzvah to Rabbolom, the Mitzvah Shal Bebrandi, the Lord.
On the Mitzvah to Rabbolom, we make a Rosh.
And indeed, this is probably the simple mashmos of the Shulchan Aruch in Yerudea, in the Halachos of Ben Pekua.
He tells us it requires Shita. He doesn't tell us that one shouldn't make a bracha.
So the implication is that the Pasuk like this Rashba, that the Shita is the same as all regular Shita, and it requires a bracha. So let's now contrast this with another situation of Maris Ayin, and see whether this klal that you make a bracha, or even on activities that are being done to avoid Maris Ayin, is an absolute klal, whether all the cases are going one to the other. So we have a situation in Hilchot Chanukah, the Gemara in the Sefer Shabbos, where the Gemara talks about a chotzer sheyesh lo shnei tefachim. You know, in the bygone times, people lit their nearest Chanukah at the entrance of the chotzer. Somebody who has a chotzer which has two entrances, tzricha shtei neiros. So that chotzer requires neiros to be lit at the two entrances, both of the entrances. This is in a situation where the two entrances are on two sides. We have a square chotzer. On one side there's one entrance, on the other side there's another entrance. And therefore it's conceivable that somebody could pass by one of the entrances without seeing the other entrance. As if both entrances would be on the same side, we will presume that somebody who sees one entrance sees the other entrance. If there are two sides, we have a possibility that somebody could see one entrance and not see the other entrance. And what does that mean? As the Gemara explains, the Olam Mishum Chasha. The reason for this is due to suspicion. Chasha, suspicion. The very matter of the people of the town, the Zimun did not be behind, the Lord be behind, who might possibly conceivably pass by one entrance and not pass by the other entrance. The Avri, Ki Heishu, the Baha'i Pistol, the Avri, and they'll say to themselves, perhaps this gentleman lit the nearest Chanukah, does not light him over here, and not light him over there. We might say maybe I thought, you know, they should at least be done with chaskus. But it seems that we can't rely on them being done with chaskus. That's, you know, that's like a mitzvah on the people who see. But the people who are in the possibility of suspicion, they have a mitzvah to look at it the other way and be concerned that people might not view it that way. Yeah, probably, you know, probably you can. You know, it's a drama, so I suppose, yeah. Now, as you see, the reason for this hadlocker, this extra hadlocker, is Mishum Chashan, the Gemara says, to avoid suspicion. So again, we will have here the same question, which can be asked, somebody who needs to light this second light now, because of suspicion, is there an obligation to recite a bracha on this second light? So how does one do that? And then it is stubborn, and it's logical, the given chain in Mazli, Ela Mishum Chashka, Le Mavorech Ela Achavis. Says the Rav, that since it is only due to suspicion, one only makes a bracha on the one. If one is the mitzvah, the other one is simply an empty activity that one does to avoid suspicion. It's not a mitzvah. So therefore, you don't make any bracha. And indeed, these words of the Rav are taken as psak halacha, Yishuv Aruch, in Hilchos Chanukah, actually passed openly this way, Ve'im Mazlit Bishnei Psochim, Einei Mevorech Rav Be'ekot Me'em Ulesheni Mazlit Beloi Prof.
So which temple has been mentioned in many instances yesterday?
You don't have to know how this applies nowadays. In the sort of basic situation of the Gemara, yes. So the question we want to come back to, Uncle Bonnie, is why is it that as regards Nerus Chanukah we have the Rav telling us that you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah which is being done due to suspicion, due to chashan, whereas as regards the Ben Pekua we are making a bracha on the Shita, even though also it's only being done due to suspicion. So conceivably we could maybe say, well, maybe it's a machloket between the Rashba and the Rav.
possibly. But even so, the Shmat in Psak Halacha, because in Hilchos Kamik we're being told not to make a bracha, and Hilchos Shita, the place of our science. Nobody tells us not to make a bracha, nobody tells us to make a bracha. But the simple understanding of Hilchos Shita, if you're being told to shek something, nobody says otherwise, normally means with a bracha. So the implication is that there's a difference between the two cases. Indeed, this question is asked by one of the great posts in the pre-Chodosh. He says, I can't understand what's going on here. If in Hilchos Chanukah we're told not to make a bracha, somebody should have told us in Hilchos Shita not to make a bracha. There's no difference between the two cases. What's the difference? This is the kasha of the pre-Chodosh. So I'd like to look at two possible terutzim. The Crazy Uglesi brings up by a surprising type of kid. He says that actually the two cases are chalot, one from the other. And he says we have to look at the wording that Chazal used when they talk about the mitzvah, the halacha that they're discussing. It depends whether they use the words chashad or they use the words maris ayin. There's a difference between chashad and maris ayin. So we'll find that they didn't help us Hanukkah, where we're told to light on the second Pesach, on the extra Pesach, the word chashad, suspicion, is used. Whereas, in the halacha of the Ben Tekua, the words used are marit ayin. What is the difference? The place doesn't explain. But it appears that he understands that when Chazal simply used the word chashad, that means they're not instituting a new mitzvah. It's only words of suspicion. So speak to yourselves, see to it, that you don't incur the suspicion of the people around. There's no mitzvah. It's simply a tactic that one has to take on in order to avoid suspicion. One doesn't want to put oneself in suspicion, so avoid suspicion.
So then you don't make a bracha.
Now, Sheinke, when Chazal uses the terminology, Maris Ayin, that indicates more that they are instituting it. Follows Chazal, one should do due to Maris Ayin. Once it's more of a Tachonot Chazal mitzvah, due to Maris Ayin, then it becomes it gets the status of regular Tachonot Chazal or mitzvah bracha.
Can we say that the one of the Chanukah,
yeah,
one can check, is it Hashem that can check, the one of the why he cannot check, because he cannot know that he's...
It's absolutely unidentifiable.
Right, so one sees this, but one who sees that the inner light, when he can turn around and go to the other side, it's all about the different other side. Is there...
In that case, there's over there, but really the level of kashash is much lower. Because it's not a kashash, but it's not a theorist. So maybe in that Chazal will misakin it, that could also be a smaller maybe what the place is saying. Maybe Chazal will misakin it in less of a like a obligatory type of fashion. So you've got to do it, but it doesn't have the full blown mitzvah space. Well, that's it. One other different idea, which is brought up by the Pirkei Yosef, is that there's a difference between these two cases in that the second light of the nearest Hanukkah is being done as a secondary portion of the main mitzvah. Is one fulfills the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah at the main mitzvah. Whichever one you want to do, wherever you start, you fulfill the mitzvah. Then the second one is performed as a joint on part of the main mitzvah. But when one checks the Ben Tekua, one's not necessarily doing any other shita at the same time. It's not part of another mitzvah that one is necessarily fulfilling. So when you're doing it as a part of the main mitzvah, then Chazal will not be attacking another broken. Even if, obviously one will do it without any hassle between one and the other, it would surely be possible you don't need a bracha. There is a hassle, because this mitzvah doesn't constitute its own separate mitzvah, it just constitutes a sort of backup position to the main mitzvah. Because it's simply a top end, so to speak, to the ikkar. It's a secondary part of the main mitzvah. When it's a secondary part of the main mitzvah, then there's no bracha. Now, Shaykh, when we come to the shkita of the Ben Tekua, which is not being done as a secondary part of something else. One does it. So that activity, Chazal, was a sakin in bracha, and that is the difference between these two cases. Okay, we'll stop here for today, really.